Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, so this past weekend, Tim, we saw pride marches around the country. We saw marches for women's rights following Friday's abortion ruling. We also honored Juneteenth just 1 week ago today. We're thinking a lot about issues of equality and all of its configurations and gaps. And so, too, is Colorful Capital, which was launched earlier this month. It's got a mission of delivering capital and support to what they describe are undervalued business leaders in the LGBTQ plus community.
We're very pleased this afternoon to be joined by Bill Burkhart, Chief Executive Officer of TIP, the Investment Integration Project. Bill joining us on the phone from New York City. Bill, how are you?
Doing well. Pleasure to be here, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing at Colorful Capital and how you're finding the talent of the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, sure. So Colorful Capital, we're launching a $20 million venture fund, really targeting investing in scalable, early stage, venture backable enterprises led by LGBTQ plus founders and leaders. And the whole kind of investment thesis is really around this idea that these kinds of founders that represent these different segments of the community are kind of routinely undervalued by the venture capital space for all sorts of reasons. So that's really what we're trying to say is like, look, there's these kinds of founders typically have less access to early stage capital. They face all sorts of discrimination when raising capital. And this kind of leads to this underfunding of viable businesses at both friends and family and seed stages. And that's essentially what Colorful Capital is meant to do. We're meant to step in there.
So, Bill, how do you see it playing out? Because money is one thing, right? Crucial for anybody who's starting up a business, especially if they can't bootstrap it. But, I mean, it's also the network that, you know, I think about investors, whether it's in Silicon Valley or angel investors, bring along with them to help these companies, these startups, you know, become something.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, and that's also part of what we've been thinking about, too, right? So it's this whole idea of saying when you have folks that are kind of routinely overlooked, so you're not just bringing capital to the table, but you're also kind of starting from this position, at least for Megan and I, where we are members of the community. And so we kind of already approach this from a unique position of trust. And so as part of that position of trust, it's also saying, yeah, we're going to come in with capital, but we also have a big roster of venture advisors that essentially will come ride shotgun with us to essentially provide a lot of the kind of sector expertise and all sorts of the scaffolding and support that's necessary to ultimately help enable success for these founders and their enterprises. So we're doing that a lot of that work to say, like, we may be focused on seed and pre-seed, but there's also kind of the angel rounds, and then there's subsequent rounds, and making sure that we're collaborating with others within the industry to make sure that people really see this as a kind of spectrum, as a value chain that they can slot into, and that we can be useful in all sorts of ways beyond just saying, hey, here's a check. We're going to also try to really invest significantly and really provide the kind of support that is otherwise kind of missing right now.
Hey, Bill, talk to us about the LPs here and where you're raising the money from. We understand where the money's going, but where are you getting it?
Yeah, ultimately, I mean, so like with any venture fund, I mean, it's going to be a combination of our kind of network where Megan and I essentially come from. I don't know to what extent impact investment is a can be a bit of a provocative term right now, but we come from the impact investment in sustainable finance world. So a lot of the networks that we'll be leveraging to bring into this in terms of LPs, but also venture advisors and others, are going to really come from that world. So it's going to be a combination of family offices, foundations, endowments, folks that essentially are looking at this with a very kind of impactful lens in some cases, but others that are saying, look, we see this untapped opportunity, so we want to really get aggressive here. And so really try and leverage that entire world, but then go beyond it. So that will include other members of the LGBTQ plus community and well beyond.
Well, okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, when you are having these conversations, raising funds, what are the conversations that you're having that say, okay, you know, obviously these people want to support your mission at Colorful Capital, but at the same time, they want to see a return on their investment. So talk to us about the data that you have that says, okay, these types of investments are going to return outsized returns based on a benchmark.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So this is part of the whole thing, right? Like, this has to look taste and smell like a traditional VC, exactly what it is. So there's a lot of studies that have come out that essentially point to the fact that diverse teams lead to outsized returns, particularly in the context of VC. And so there's all, you know, depending on which study you point to, it can lead to improved risk management, increased IRR. So there was this one study that talks about a 10% increase in diversity in VC yields a 1.5% increase in IRR. Others point to increased valuation. So this is, now mind you, this also speaks to the problem. There's not a lot of studies that point specifically to LGBTQ plus community, but you can use proxies, right? And so for one of them, they talk about for gender balanced teams, step up valuations were 13% higher than teams with less than 10% women in leadership. So stuff like that, where you can start to knit together this kind of tapestry that shows, look, this is a really promising thing. It will lead to outsized returns. And guess what? It's routinely overlooked and undervalued. So that's where we can kind of essentially help bring that to the fore.
Well, great to hear what you're up to. Bill Burkhardt, he is the CEO of TIIP, the Investment in Integration Project. He's also co-founder of Colorful Capital, joining us on the phone in New York City.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
So about 2 weeks ago, the Bloomberg noted that the U.S. cannabis market size expected to reach $40 billion by 2030 and expected to expand at a compound annual growth rate of nearly 15% over that time. That's a new report, Tim, that's out by Grandview Research. Growth driven, at least this report said, by increased legalization.
Okay, so with this increased legalization, how are people who are using cannabis using it? Well, Curaleaf just got some new data. They did this survey with Harris Poll, and it found that 91% of adults who are over the age of 21 who have ever consumed cannabis They've actually done so for health and wellness purposes, Carol, as opposed to, well, you know, recreational, I would suppose.
All right, so let's get to our guest. With us is Stacia Woodcock. She is clinical cannabis pharmacist at Curaleaf, joining us via Zoom in New York City. So tell us a bit more about how people are using it, because we do see growth, Stacia, in the industry. So tell us a bit more, though, about specifically where people are using it and for what reasons.
Yeah, you know, I think this survey really helped clear up a lot of the stigma surrounding cannabis. People think that it's for escapism, for, you know, fun recreational purposes. But what we're really seeing is that by and large, the people that are consuming cannabis are doing so for health and wellness. It's for stress. It's for anxiety. It's for sleep. And the bigger takeaway is that over half of these people are using cannabis instead of pharmaceuticals. And I think one thing the COVID-19 pandemic did was sort of shift people towards more natural, homeopathic sort of remedies, and cannabis falls into that for a lot of people.
How are they using it? Not what are they using it for? How are they using it? Are they eating edibles? Are they smoking it? Or are they using vaping products?
I mean, I think that's the most fascinating thing about it. People think cannabis, they think smoking. Smoking is actually bad for you, no matter what it is. So we see a lot of vaporization. And I think that's a good opportunity to remind people that we're talking about legal regulated products. So these are products that are sold through legal state markets. They're tested. They don't have pesticides. They don't have contaminants. There's nothing else in these vaporized products other than pure cannabis oil and the terpenes found within the plant. That's really important because illicit market products are not regulated that way. We're seeing a lot of contaminated products. So these regulated products are much safer for people to consume. But we're also seeing the pharmaceutical industry technology brought into cannabis. So if you think of a traditional cannabis edible that takes like an hour to kick in and can last for 8 hours, we can change that with nano formulation that makes cannabis easier to be absorbed by the body. So you can consume it in a beverage, in a gum formation. It's going to work in like 15 minutes and only last for an hour or two. So people can really customize the products that they're using to the symptoms that they're looking for. If you want to sleep all night, you can use something that's going to last all night. If you just need something for anxiety or stress right now, we have products for that too. So the versatility of the products really determines sort of what you're using them for.
So tell me though, Stacia, who should be using it? Because when you say homeopathic, and I know there's been, you know, a lot moving forward in terms of greater oversight of homeopathic remedies. But I mean, you know, I want transparency. I want to know what I'm kind of getting into.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that we see a lot are people that are comfortable with the idea of cannabis for cancer, for multiple sclerosis, for Parkinson's disease, like these really severe disease states. And there's a lack of understanding that it actually can be utilized for things like arthritis, for menstrual cramps, for migraines, for stress, for anxiety. I mean, we have patients and consumers coming in all the time for much simpler symptoms. And even more importantly, not all cannabis causes euphoria. I think that's also a huge misunderstanding that if you use cannabis, you're going to be stoned. That's absolutely not the case. The products come in a lot of different formulations, doses, ratios. So we can really customize what you're getting and how it's going to affect you for your lifestyle.
But I guess what I wanted to go back to is remind me where we are in terms of FDA oversight of all of this.
There is no FDA oversight right now. It's all state by state regulated, but that's where that regulation comes into play. So the testing, the formulations, all of that is essentially pharmaceutical grade, even without FDA oversight.
Do we get to a point where there is that FDA oversight, or we get to a point where, you know, I'm actually going to my primary care physician and she or he is recommending that I go to the pharmacy and pick up some cannabis, not going to, you know,
a dispensary.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that would require federal legalization. And that's something I think the industry is definitely moving toward, because access is huge. Like right now, someone who is a patient in New York, say, they can't travel to a different state legally with their medicine. And that's a problem. So we need that accessibility to open up for people to be able to consume and have, you know, whatever they're using it for, to be able to cross state lines, have consistent product. You know, that's all something we're moving toward. But I think, you know, know, removing the stigma and seeing what people are using it for is a huge step in that direction. There's a lot of fear and miseducation and misunderstanding around cannabis. And I think the more transparent we are about why people are using it really helps more people get on board with the idea that this really is something that people are utilizing. They're utilizing it safely and it's really helping them.
Well, yeah. And I do wonder, like, I certainly have tapped into it on the cosmetic side. And I know we've had some guests on, whether it's balms and, you know, lip things and so on and so forth.
That's more than just CBD, Carol. It's like actual cannabis, or is it CBD?
That's a good question. I think it's just CBD. So this is different.
Yeah, this is different. This is the actual. How would you explain the difference, Stacia? Because
so
I can't.
It's tricky. So CBD is a cannabinoid, which are the active ingredients found in cannabis. Hemp is cannabis. It's just a term that we use for cannabis that grows with very little THC in it, but it's still a cannabis plant, hemp. But we differentiate by calling it hemp CBD. That's what can be sold over the counter, and that has no FDA oversight, right, or testing requirements or regulations at all. And so that's where that can be really tricky. I always say use hemp CBD with caution. The cannabis products in dispensaries come from cannabis that contains varying amounts of THC. And almost all of the states regulate it much more strictly than hemp CBD, which really has no oversight. There are a lot more rigorous testing requirements. And what we're seeing now are trending. I think a lot of people, they know about THC and CBD as the two main active ingredients, but there's over 100 different cannabinoids in the plant. So right. There are, we call them the minor cannabinoids, THCV, CBG, CBN, and almost all of them are non-euphoric and can be used to support different sort of health and wellness needs. So we're seeing an even bigger trend shifting towards these minor cannabinoids.
Right.
People can take almost like a supplement without euphoria, and they can just help keep their body in balance.
Well, this conversation reminds us that we're still learning a lot along the way. Dr. Stacia Woodcock, she's clinical cannabis pharmacist of Curaleaf, joining us via Zoom from New York City. I mean, you know, Tim, we've been talking about it for years. We've seen it play out in the financial markets, but it does feel like it still has a ways to go.
Regulators, if you're listening,
I know.
Federally.
You got crypto, you got cannabis, we got a lot of things.
What happens first?
I don't
cannabis
know.
Before crypto.
Maybe. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this Monday. For Tim Stanovic and the whole Bloomberg Business Week team, good to be back. Have a safe evening. This is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kruszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company, Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.